Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back in, third and final hour here on a Saturday morning. It is the Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. As we take you up until 9 o'clock today, college football game time, 1 hour from now. Later today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, it is game number two of the Hawks 2020-2021 season as the Atlanta Hawks travel to Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. And that is what we will begin hour number three discussing, because I'm looking forward to this game finally being played where it actually matters. I've seen enough of the Grizzlies in the preseason. We saw them twice. Now this one truly counts. Two of basketball's most prolific young dynamic guards in Trae Young and Ja Morant finally get the chance to get it going this afternoon, later this evening. So both teams opened the season on Wednesday. The Hawks hammered the Bulls, as we know, 124-104. The Grizzlies were whipped at home by the Spurs, 131-119, and they split two games during the preseason. Grizzlies won the first game 128-106. The Hawks returned the favor, winning the return match by a point, 117-116. Now, if you guys recall, last year, pre-shutdown, pre-pandemic, the Grizzlies easily defeated the Hawks in both meetings and have actually won three head-to-head games in a row in Memphis. Last season, Memphis won by 39 in Atlanta. They ended up setting a franchise record for its largest road victory. And then 5 days later, the Grizzlies won by 17 in Memphis. Now, on Wednesday night, we know the Hawks rolled. The Grizzlies, not the case. They lost to the Spurs, and in a losing effort, Ja Morant dropped 44 points, which was one shy of the Grizzly franchise record, which I think even dates back to when they were in Vancouver. So Ja had 44 in a losing effort, 34 in the second half, but they came up empty. So you look at these two prolific players. Ja had a huge night. Trae went for 37. And this is a Hawks team that, as I said yesterday, when I did the midday show, filling in for Andy and Randy, that was probably the most efficient yet wildly prolific game I've seen in an opener, not just by the Hawks, but by any team in recent memory. When you shoot 54% from the floor, 83% from the free throw line, and 40% from beyond the arc, you play small ball and you do it with four guys projected in your rotation that were out in Rondo, in Dunn, in Capella and Okongwu, and you were still plus four on the glass. That was a fantastic way to open the season. And I know the Bulls aren't great, and I know it's only game one of 72. There's still 71 to go, but that was a great opener for the Hawks, and we'll see if they can kind of snap this little funk that they've been in against the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's hear from the head coach, Lloyd Pierce, who has got this team off to a really good start, but he says, you know what? We still have room to improve.
You know, we're still learning some execution stuff with pick and pops with Gallo, what to do on the weak side to give him some clean looks. We're learning how to play with the guy that can play at the elbow and his passing ability. We have to be better in some of our one more mentalities. You know, we score a lot of points, but I think we still only ended up with 25 assists. There's some opportunities where we can get some paint to great.
That'll come with time, with chemistry, with cohesion. These guys will get to the point where when Trey's in the pick-and-roll game or the pick-and-pop game with a guy like Danilo or John Collins, they'll get to a point where these guys know where each other are going to be, and they'll literally won't even have to look when they whip it out around the corner, around the perimeter, get defenses rotating and scrambling, because this team's got athletes, this team's got shooters, and this team's going to be able to spread the floor. You're not going to be able to just double in and cave in on Trae Young, because then Bogdanović is spotted up in the corner, Cam Reddish off the dribble, Danilo from the post, Danilo from the elbow. This is a really, really polished scorer. And the guys that they added in the offseason aren't going to win championships, but they are going to make life easier for Trae Young. And one of the things that will need to improve is the turnovers. They turned the ball over 21 times against the Bulls on Wednesday night. You got to clean that up. But I love the fact that they were +4 on the glass playing small. I mean, you think about it. No Clint Capella, no Okongwu. Your only big off the bench is Bruno Fernando, and you still won the rebounding battle. Lloyd Pierce went small with his starting lineup. John Collins at the 5, at 6'9", would be considered an undersized center. Danilo Gallinari is a stretch 4, even though he's 6'10". He's not the most physical guy down low. And then they rounded it out with Hunter, Cam, and Trey. And we'll see how Lloyd kind of mixes and matches, you know, his starting lineup based on which guy's active, who's injured, who's banged up. Again, you didn't have either of your backcourt additions in the offseason defensively in Rondo and Dunn. Clint Capella, even though we saw him finally make his debut in the preseason, did not play in the opener. And you're still waiting to see what you have in the young talent from USC. But one thing we know is John Collins is a legit 20-10 type player. He said this was one of the best opening games.
I say it's definitely one of the best games or opening games that I've had. I feel like we came out with enough intensity and energy. I feel like the preseason games helped us. We played two tough teams in Orlando and Memphis. We play again. So I feel like it woke us up a little bit. And Ice came to play today, and we rode the wave. We played well, and we win.
And it'll be interesting to see, because this is a team that it's got a few veteran presences, but a lot of young guys. So a lot of young guys, fresh legs, a shorter season of 72 games. In some regards, I feel like that could be an advantage for the Atlanta Hawks. You know, especially when you get some of these teams that are resting their marquee players, and maybe you can steal a game against a team you normally might not have much business beating. So I'm at the point now where, you know, I'm not going to change my preseason prediction. I thought this was an 8 seed at best. I think they will get in as an 8 seed. I have them winning 35 games, so 35-37 in a 72-game slate, probably drawing Milwaukee or Brooklyn in a 1-8 matchup. And to be honest, I at best, they win one game in a playoff series, but that is fantastic progress from where they were 2 years ago to where they were last year. And it's part of the process, right? Like, not to – I know a lot of people want to use, oh, just trust the process. It's the process. It's become like the cliche thing to say, but it's very true. And I think a lot of people get impatient in the NBA. Like, I think there's even Bucks fans out there that are like, all right, Giannis, you got two MVPs. When are you going to get to the finals, man? And then you realize how young some of these guys are, and you look at some of the GOATs and how long it took them. You know, Jordan, it took Jordan 7-8 years to get that first championship. Took LeBron, 8 years? LeBron came in the league in 03, got his first title in 2011. I mean, so this is not something that's going to happen overnight, but you take it step by step. Get to the playoffs this year. Next year, try to win a series. The following year, be a real legit Eastern Conference Finals threat. And in 3, 4, 5 years, hopefully you're in the short list of teams in the East that could conceivably get to the NBA Finals. And then by that point, LeBron James and the Lakers are done. And obviously there's other teams, other dynasties, other, you know, teams that are going to go on runs, you know, that are going to win 2 in 5 years or go back to back or be there like the Warriors were. But it's a process. All right, so here's the other thing. Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app. Looking ahead to the Hawks, let's call it the first 5 weeks, and we look at the schedule. What would be considered a success when we get to the end of January, a month from now? You had the Bulls opening night. You got to win. You got the Grizzlies on the road tonight. Then you come home opener, this Monday, the 28th, against the Pistons. And then you wrap up December on the road at Brooklyn. Legitimately, if you go 2-2 there, I think you feel pretty good. You beat the Bulls and the Pistons. If you lose to Brooklyn, and then today against Memphis, probably a coin flip type situation. Now we roll the calendar over to January. Another game against Brooklyn, and then you get a stretch where you have a bunch of winnable games. You have the Cavs at home. You have the New York Knicks at home. You have the Charlotte Hornets at home. Then you return the favor in Charlotte. And then you have a little bit of a challenging stretch. You have Philly at home. You go to Phoenix, Utah, and Portland for a West Coast Western Conference swing. Then you come back home, another winnable stretch. Home games against Minnesota and Detroit. Back on the road for Minnesota. And then you get the Bucks, the Clippers, the Nets, tough stretch. And then you wrap up a month from now on the road, January 29th, final game in January at the Wizards. If you look at that 20-game stretch to start the season, first 5 weeks, the week of Christmas, and then the 4 weeks in January, I gave you the teams right there. It's conceivable that this team is at least 10-10 through its first 20 games with 52 to go. If I told you right now, 10-10 with all the new pieces, some guys still not active, Rondo, Dunn, Capella's played in a preseason game, hasn't played in the regular season yet, would you take 10-10? I absolutely would. 404-741-0929 is the number. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can get me on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. It's about two things right here. Right out of the gate for the first third of the season for the Hawks, it's winning the games that you should or need to win against bottom feeders below you, Cleveland, New York, Charlotte, Detroit, Minnesota, Washington. Those are the games you need to win. If you want to be the 8 seed, if you want to make the playoffs, maybe if you want to get to the 7 seed, although I don't know that that's overly realistic. And then you've got games where you're going to play Brooklyn in the first 5 weeks of the season. You're playing them three times. You've got multiple games against Minnesota. You've got multiple games against the Bucks. You've got the Clippers. Can you steal a game or two against teams that we know are clearly upper echelon franchises? The Milwaukees, the Brooklyns, the LAs. And then some of those other teams that are playoff caliber, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland. That those are the games where I say, okay, I look at it three different ways. Win the games you're supposed to win. You know, split against some of the 3, 4, and 5 seeds in the East and the West that are on your schedule. And then can you steal just one against a Brooklyn? Can you get in a shootout with KD and Kyrie, where Trey and Kyrie are going back and forth? Irving goes for 38, Trey goes for 41. That'll be the interesting thing to watch in the first 5 weeks of this season, because if you get to 10-10, 20 games in, 52 to go, then you're starting to set yourself up for maybe a little bit of a run where this team can maybe win 7 out of 10 or 6 out of 9, 5 out of 8. Chemistry, cohesion, guys starting to come together. Very interesting time, very exciting time for the Atlanta Hawks. All right, coming up next here on the Nick Kale Show, we're going to talk to Barrett Sports Media, Dimitri Ravanos. We've had him on a couple of times. If you remember about a month ago, he wrote a column on the demise of the SEC on CBS. Well, he had a great piece about how college football is killing itself and ESPN's allowing it to happen. We'll get into that with Dimitri and also some of the other bad sports media ideas of 2020. That's next here on the Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, welcome back in the Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The radio.com app, picks coming up in about 20 minutes as we lead you into college football game time. Very nice choice by our producer, Our producer, Marshall Harris, today coming back with a little ESPN college football theme music as we get set for the playoff. And we welcome in our next guest, Dimitri Ravanos, Barrett Sports Media. When it comes to evaluating the way media companies are doing their job, there's very few guys I value their opinion more than this guy. So we're going to have him on because he had a great column talking about how college football is killing itself and ESPN is essentially allowing it. Dimitri, happy holidays. How you doing, buddy?
Happy holidays to you as well. I'm good, Nick. This is sort of going back to the last time you and I chatted about the SEC on CBS. This yep. is a huge difference. I had no idea what that song was you guys were playing.
That was, I think that's the college football playoff, the BCS theme from ABC when Fowler and Herbstreit will do the national championship.
Wow. See, I mean, like, it makes that little of an impact. Their presentation makes that little of an impact on me.
All right, so let's get into your column because before we get into the specifics of, you know, the network and, you know, maybe not giving enough pushback on the committee for the playoffs, you do allude to in the beginning how much you like Cincinnati as a legit program. You're on in Atlanta. We've got Cincinnati and Georgia. I think it's a fantastic game. I mean, if you want to tweak my audience a little bit and call for the Bearcat upset, I'll give you the floor right now.
I mean, look, here's what's going to happen. Cincinnati is going to play the game of their lives, and no matter what the outcome is, it is going to be closer than Georgia fans like, and they're going to do what they did after the Sugar Bowl, and they're going to say, oh, well, we didn't care anyway. How could you expect us to win this game? This is the thing, Nick. The Peach Bowl is going to have nothing to do with Cincinnati. It is going to have the reaction to it, I should say. Is going to have everything to do with Georgia fans not being able to accept that you are number six by the grace of, or whatever they are, eight, by the grace of the logo on your helmet, not because you're actually one of the top 10 teams in the country.
Wow. No respect for JT Daniels and what he has done to transform this offense.
I think, and we will talk about this as we go on, I'm sure, but I think that offense is transformed. I would like to see what they look like next year. I am anticipating they will open the season as one of the top three teams in the country. But, I mean, come on. They played two tough opponents this year mm-hmm. and got smoked both times.
No, very true. I've been very critical of Kirby Smart. No question about it. All right, so the crux of your article, if I'm gathering this correctly, is that here's ESPN, big partners with the College Football Playoff and the College Football Playoff Committee and the sport in general. I mean, they do more, they're more linked to the sport than the SEC on CBS or Fox. I mean, ESPN is the big time partner of college football. And with the committee revealing their four playoff teams, there was some controversy about Ohio State, about Notre mm-hmm. Dame. And I gather from what you wrote that you wanted more pushback from the panelists of experts, the Pollocks, the Herbies of the world, to kind of challenge the committee on those selections. And you thought there should be maybe more resistance to the four teams. Is that what I gather?
Well, so it is ideally, yes, but I am not naive, right? It's not just that ESPN is in partnership with the playoff. ESPN literally owns a piece of the college football playoff. So they're not going to have guys go on there and rant and rave about how wrong they got it. But the closest thing we got to anybody saying that there were other teams worth considering was Reese Davis saying that it is a shame that Cincinnati did everything asked of them and the best we can offer them is a number seven ranking. I think that one of the things that bothers me the most every year about the college football playoff reveal, and particularly this year, is there is this lockstep in uniformity of everyone on that panel saying that they got it right. There is no argument for anything else. People saying that this is exactly what America wanted when you don't have to do that deep of a social media search to find out this is exactly not what America wanted. We have seen the Ohio State Clemson movie before. We know how it ends. We have seen Alabama Notre Dame before. We know how that ends. I know that Alabama and Clemson will likely be another very exciting championship game. That being said, if we don't think anybody can hang within four touchdowns of this Alabama team, if we don't think anybody can hang within three or four touchdowns of Clemson, why are we trotting out the same victims over and over again and demanding that that is what everybody wants to see?
No, very true. And Dimitri Rivano's Barrett Sports Media is joining us. I guess I look at it in two different perspectives. Within the ESPN umbrella for the college football playoff and the partnership, I would like to see more banter from a guy like Herb Street, although I know Kirk is very buttoned up and he approaches it very professionally. And then you have Palmer and Pollock and Desmond Howard. So I get it that they're not challenging the format too much, but there's other ESPN personalities on other platforms within the network that do go off on it. So, and you and I know this, right? We've both been in this business long enough. When you are on a media platform and you have a partnership with an entity like the playoff or a pro sports franchise like the Falcons and Hawks, you just can't go off and just go off like a madman because you have a partnership to maintain. So how do you like handle that delicate balance if the main college guys on that set are not challenging it, but the talking heads on ESPN radio or on Get Up are doing it? How do you handle that balance?
Yeah, I mean, I think that your point is exactly the thing here, is on the main college football broadcast, you're probably not going to get any sort of intense pushback as a fan. What I would ask, though, is that Joey Galloway not look right down a camera and lie to you about what you just saw happen. That David Pollock not look right down a camera and lie to you about what you just saw happen. Joey Galloway said that Ohio State earned it and they were given nothing literally an hour after the Big Ten changed their eligibility rule to make sure Chris Olave or Olave would be available for the semifinals should they get in. David Pollack said that the committee showed that they truly value being undefeated when Cincinnati couldn't get above number 8 or number 7. I can't remember exactly which one it is. There is a difference between being a good partner and living on a different planet.
You know what's interesting is I know we're headed towards expansion. I don't think we need it because the semifinal games, in my opinion, have not been close enough to warrant opening up a broader base of teams to come in. But there's too much money to be made, and it's going to appease people. So it's a win-win. You know, the booster, all the people affiliated with the bowls in the playoff will make more money, and then everybody that cries on social media will be happy because we have 6 or we have 8. But even if we go to 8 and we have 5 Power 5 champions, 2 at-larges, and the best G5 team, we're still going to have to seed them accordingly, and there's still going to be some level of a committee saying, okay, well, the Pac-12 champion was 9-3. Just because they're a Power 5 doesn't mean they're going to get a top 5 seed. I'm going to put them at 7, and then we're going to have complaints about Power 5 champions with 3 losses being seeded lower or higher than an undefeated G5 or a 1 loss at large. I don't know that we ever get the perfect solution to the college playoff. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, no one is ever going to be entirely happy, but I think for the long-term health of this sport, one of two things has to happen. You hit on expansion. Nick, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think 8 is enough. Like, if we are going to really think about what is best for growing the popularity of this sport, I say we go to 12 and we have the conversation about 16. That's one. The other thing is, we are going to have to talk about, is it time to break FBS up into 2 different divisions? Because, like, if there was ever a year to put in a G5 champ like a Cincinnati, it was this year and it was never even discussed. I think as name, image, and likeness bills get passed and there is more legitimate money going back and forth from players to programs in college football, I think that the next big realignment is going to be teams looking to go down rather than teams looking to go up. I think that as the Vanderbilts of the world and as the Wake Forests of the world recognize they cannot compete on the same level as their current conference brethren, they're going to be having the discussion of how do I get to the American? And then what do we do? Do we say there is FBS in the Premier League? Do we say there's FBS and then we rename some sort of configuration of the top FCS conferences in the group of 5. I think that you cannot have a team like Cincinnati. You cannot have a team like 2017 and 2018 UCF, have them do everything we put in front of them, and then over and over again just expect that they will accept that they are not invited to the party.
No, that's a good point. Dimitri Ravanos, Barrett Sports Media, is our guest joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So you talk about growing the sport and growing brands. You know, college football has always been largely a regional sport. You know, it's a Southeastern type thing. Yeah, you have your pocket of Ohio State and Penn State, Clemson along the Atlantic coast, Oklahoma, Texas in the Southwest, USC out on the West Coast. And when we talk about, look, like, so, you know, obviously ESPN is going to play the hits. CBS has been linked to the SEC for 20 years, and we've seen some change and some expansion. Fox is into the college game now. Some want to call it basically the Ohio State Network because they play Ohio State constantly. You see some Oklahoma, Texas on Fox. And the Pac-12, they have their network, but I don't know how many people actually subscribe or have access to the Pac-12 network. How do we make this
They're not going to have their network much longer, it doesn't look like.
No, not at all. Like, how do we expand the sport and make it a nationwide thing where there are no pockets of the country that just tune out to Saturday?
Well, you know, I think there are always going to be some pockets of the country that just are not interested. I think the NFL is really the only sport in the entire country that doesn't have pockets that just don't care. I mean, here, like, I live in North Carolina. Try and find a Major League Baseball fan. Like, just being honest, try and find a Major League Baseball fan here where I live. I think the realistic the realistic path forward is to really invest in those pockets and not get to the point where we're headed, which is the people that care about college football live in a 5.5-hour stretch between Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Clemson, South Carolina. I mean, what you are describing is true, but the way this sport has gone, you know, that pocket of Los Angeles doesn't really care very much. That pocket of Oregon doesn't really care very much. The entire Big Ten West, which is up for grabs every single year and has places like Iowa, like Wisconsin, that traditionally care a lot about this sport, they don't care as much as they used to. So it is not ESPN's fault necessarily that these programs are not able to keep pace with Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney and what they are doing. It is sort of a problem, though, going forward, that the next team that we think could pop their heads up there, that next year we expect to be able to pop their heads up there, is in Athens, Georgia, which, by the way, is part of that 5.5-hour drive from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to Clemson, South Carolina. I mean, the windows, those pockets of interest, are shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And so what is the obvious answer? I don't know exactly, because with the NFL, when it was that stretch of time where every year we could count on the Patriots being in the Super Bowl, and it did not matter who they were playing, the Patriots were going to end up winning, whether it was a 28-3 comeback or whether it was a snoozer of a Super Bowl that ends up with one team scoring a touchdown. You could count on the Patriots winning that game. The NFL was smart enough to lean into star marketing. You can't really do that in college football because the stars turn over every 3 years.
No, you're spot on. One final thing here with Dimitri Ravanos, Barrett Sports Media. You also had a really good piece about some of the worst things in sports media for 2020, and this was a wild year. We had to adjust on the fly, but I am so with you on the fake crowd noise at sporting events in an era where we don't have many fans or any fans at all. And this even would go to, like, and I know a lot of people probably don't care about it, but sports entertainment and wrestling, the whole piped-in crowd thing, like, we have more technology than ever. Can we at least make it sound, like, somewhat normal? It sounds so god-awful, like it's an engineer on his first day on the job.
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it, because the event that most stood out to me was the Pac-12 championship game a couple of weeks ago, where they played a crowd reaction to a referee overturning a call while showing a wide shot where you could see there was nobody in the crowd. What are we doing? Like, I know I'm on right now the flagship station of Atlanta United. The MLS and ESPN got this right out of the gate with looking for a way, with that tournament down in Disney World, looking for a way to repackage how this is presented. And so they had that base layer of crowd noise, of just general, you know, kind of noise. And then they put mics in the pitch. They had more mics closer to the goalpost. And it just, you really got the sound of a game. And they thought about, how do we present this almost like a video game where, you know, every single sound is coming through your speaker in some way, versus how do we make this as much like normal TV as possible when nothing is normal right now?
Dimitri Rivanos, Georgia fans, you can heckle him on Twitter at Dimitri Rivanos. He's a great sports media columnist for Barrett Sports Media. Dimitri, thank you so much. Happy holidays, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Yes, I will get back to work on my statue of Stetson Bennett IV right now as we speak.
Take care, buddy.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
There he is, Dimitri Rivanos, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. College football game time coming up in about 25 minutes. They'll lead you into Willie P. Then we got Hawks basketball later today. We'll come back. Final segment of the day. You guys know how it works on a Saturday. I give you winners. You listen. You place your bets. You cash in. Uncle Nick is going to provide a little stimulus check, college football bowl game style, as well as NFL Week 16. Stay there. You guys hear that? How good does that sound? Oh, yeah. Nick Kale Show, baby. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Radio.com app. As we take you up until 9 o'clock today, college football game time. John Chuckery's coming up in just about 17 minutes. Looking forward to the Georgia Rattlesnake taking over. All right, let's make you guys some money, right? That's what Uncle Nick is here to do. I've been stuffing stockings all fall. September, October, November, December. If you guys have listened on the Saturday show in the afternoon, you know we've been on a tear. 11 winning weeks in the last 14. That's an absurd rate. I don't even know what the math is. 11 out of 14, was that like 80%, something to that effect? 3-1-1 against the spread last week. So we just keep giving out winners. You tune in, you cash in. It's really that simple. And I don't even need to be tipped or thanked on the way out. Hold your applause until the end of the show. All right, here we go. Let's go. Cure Bowl time, 7:30 tonight on ESPN. Liberty Coastal Carolina. It was a game we were supposed to get about a month ago, and Liberty came down with COVID. Hugh Freeze and the boys had to cancel. And BYU took their place, and Coastal said, you know what? We'll tune them up as well. Come get some. And they got some. Coastal knocked off BYU. But now we get the rematch, or the first installment that we were supposed to get. And I got Liberty earlier in the week, +7.5. And I thought, that's a steal. It's almost too good to be true. Am I being duped? Am I being trapped? Is it a sucker bet? Does Coastal win by double digits? I don't think so. Malik Willis, really good quarterback, transferred from Auburn. The Flames, only one loss on the year. That was to NC State by a single point. We are 1 point away from these two teams being a combined like 22-0. 7.5 is too much. Liberty can win the game outright. Not saying they will, but 7.5 is too good to be true. I'm going to take it. Give me the Flames plus the 7 and the hook. Pick number one. All right, pick number two. We've got three games in the National Football League today, a Saturday tripleheader, and it begins with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions. Tom Brady's got a wild card right now, but he wants more. He wants a division championship. I don't think they're going to get it, but they're going to win today. Question is, do they cover? I sit here and I look at the Detroit Lions and I say, all right, they've closed up shop. They fired their head coach. Matthew Stafford's been in and out. But I see Detroit sitting there at +9.5. And I say to myself, do I buy the hook and buy up the half point to 10? I think I do. Because double-digit home dogs in the NFL cover at a wildly alarming rate. Detroit won't win this game. They won't cover easily, but they will sweat you out and you will get a backdoor meaningless score from Matthew Stafford, because Matthew Stafford has been racking up meaningless scores ever since he left Athens, Georgia. For 12 years, Matthew Stafford has largely been irrelevant. He'll be irrelevant today. He'll be irrelevant in the outcome. But the old adage of good teams win and great teams cover is very true. Detroit, just cover, baby. Just cover. Give me the Lions by the hook, +10, pick number two. All right, pick number three, game two of our NFL tripleheader today. Oh, and oh, by the way, I got to rip the NFL for sticking a game on Amazon Prime. I mean, are you serious? You know, there's very few people in this world in 2020 that were not affected by the pandemic, whose bottom line wouldn't be affected. But I think the NFL, even without fans, because of their massive TV deals, all these teams, all these owners, this league, they're just fine. So what do? They want to gouge even more from you. They want you to have Amazon Prime and sign up for an Amazon Prime account. 30-day free trial. And then you forget to cancel it after 30 days and you get billed. The fact that I got to actually sign up for Amazon Prime to watch an NFL game when I've got 13 TVs in my house already is absurd. All right, rant over. On to the game itself. Arizona is a 5-point favorite against San Francisco. The 49ers are now on to the third quarterback. Jimmy G, he gone. They're now rolling with C.J. Beathard because Nick Mullen wasn't good enough. Nick Mullen's out. Maybe they can find Chris Mullen. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. George Kittle's back. Yeah, it's nice. Nice to return in Week 16. I don't think you're going to have a big impact. The Arizona Cardinals are currently the 7th seed. They're a 5-point favorite. I will lay the 5 in the desert in a game that features two teams whose home stadium is shared now. The 49ers play their games in Arizona due to the pandemic in San Francisco. It's not going to matter. Cardinals cover the 5. Kyler Murray, too much. Arizona wins by 7 or better. Pick number 3. And then the final pick of the NFL day, triple header, the nightcap, back on the NFL Network, because, you know, you can't really stick multiple games on Amazon Prime. That would just be foolish. The Dolphins and the Raiders. Here's what I know. Brian Flores is a ridiculously good coach. The Dolphins have a great defense. They're getting Myles Gaskin back, and Tua's winning games. The Raiders, on the other side, for the second straight year, coming unglued at the seams in the final 6 weeks of a season. A hallmark tradition of John Gruden coming undone late. They did it last year, 1-5 down the stretch. They're going to do it again this year. Lay the 3 on the road with the Finns. They go into Sin City and they take care of business against the Raiders. I'll take the Dolphins by 6 in this spot, which means they cover the 3-point spread. So there's your picks for today. Liberty plus 7.5. Detroit plus 9.5. Buy the hook up to 10 if you want the added insurance. Arizona minus 5. And Miami minus 3. Let me give you a couple of other ones here in the NFL tomorrow. And then we'll make our pick on the Falcons, Chiefs, as well as the Hawks, Grizzlies today. Two other NFL games tomorrow. I'm going to go to Houston. And this could be a recency bias pick. Could be a sucker bet. But I'm going to take the bait. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals getting 7.5 at the Houston Texans. I hate betting on two teams that are out of the playoffs that stink, but the Bengals just crushed the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Houston Texans have been floundering all season. Deshaun Watson, a great season, being wasted because he has no help. There's no reason the Houston Texans should be a 7.5-point favorite over anybody in the National Football League. Cincinnati is not nearly as bad as their record looks. They got a good team. They've got talent. They've got a hard-hitting defense. Giovanni Bernard still makes plays. T. Higgins, A.J. Green, the quarterback play. Like, if Joe Burrow doesn't break his leg, I think the Bengals probably win 6 games this year, 6 or 7 games. They're respectable. You look at their margin of defeat, they've been in a lot of games. They've beaten good teams. They beat the Steelers, who now stink. They beat the Titans. Cincinnati's got some good wins. I think they can win the game against Houston, but I'll take the 7.5 as insurance. And then also in the NFL tomorrow, speaking of the Steelers, it's over for Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger's shot. This team's going to go from 11-0 to 11-5. I am taking the Indianapolis Colts minus 1.5 at Pittsburgh. The Colts will be able to run the ball against the Steelers' defense, missing a couple of linebackers. Pittsburgh's offense is deplorable. They basically want to protect Ben Roethlisberger from getting hit. They want to throw it quick because they know he can't throw deep down the field and drive the ball down the field. That's why they're in 4 wides. They can't run the ball. They're throwing screens and bubble screens and quick slants and one step and let it go. That's what their offense is. It's kind of a mess, and I kind of like the Colts. Indianapolis minus 1.5. And then the final NFL pick tomorrow, This is very dependent on who actually starts at quarterback for Washington, but the Carolina Panthers are a pick'em against the Washington football team. It looks like Alex Smith yesterday took a decent amount of the reps with the starters. If it's Alex Smith, it's a no bet. But if Dwayne Haskins gets the nod and that information comes out from Jay Glazer or Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport, you know, 20 minutes before kickoff that, you know, Alex Smith warmed up, but it's going to be Dwayne Haskins, I'm taking the Panthers. Give me Teddy Bridgewater over Dwayne Haskins all day. All right, finally, let's get some picks for everybody locally. My pick tomorrow for the Falcons, I'm taking the Chiefs 37-20. Kansas City 37, Atlanta 20. I'll be back on Facebook Live for the Facebook Falcons Flock with Willie P immediately after the game goes final on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then today, as the Hawks begin Game 2 of their 2020 campaign, I'm going to take the Hawks to beat the Grizzlies. I think it's time to snap Memphis's winning streak in the regular season against the Hawks. Give me the Hawks 117, the Grizzlies 114. So the Hawks get to 2-0. All right, that's going to do it for us. My thanks to Emery Hunt from CBS Sports, Joe Patrick from 92.9 The Game, and Dimitri Ravanos from Barrett Sports Media. Thanks to my producer, Marshall Parker, and a big thanks to everybody for tuning in and checking in on social media and on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Stay tuned. College football game time is coming up next. Chuckery in the house. I'm sure that will be entertaining. Georgia Rattlesnake rolls in next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.